Let's give them something to talk about. I see the energy running out. I got a planet to run around. Okay, okay. You ain't do nothing but run your mouth. No, I don't want to be humble now. You doubted me, nothing to talk about. Good morning.
Morning.
We'll get our resident, our Bay Area resident expert coming, joining us pretty soon. Taking over the conversation, but he does know a lot about Tim Dimmel from CrossFit Palo Alto is going to join us today because he does know a lot about the history of the games. He knows, understands the Masters perspective. He's participated in, which I didn't know, I learned yesterday, he's participated in the CrossFit games since 2008, which yeah. I have either participated in or been a spectator.
So he's got more experience on both.
He does. By the way, this is going to be a kind of our affiliate owners just talking about what our experiences were and what our knowledge is of the CrossFit games and our, you know, this isn't like a very technical analysis of the history of the CrossFit games.
Not like a Brian Friend running through all the stats.
Yeah, all the stats, the details.
How often we use X amount of movements or patterns.
It's likely we might get something wrong, multiple things wrong. But we're going to kind of run through like the qualification process, how the games got to be from where it was to where it is today. It started, and you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but, again, this is my perspective on what I remember, but we did do a little bit of research. And by the way, if you go to the CrossFit Games site, or you just Google history of the CrossFit Games, it'll take you to the history of the CrossFit Games webpage, which is really cool because you can go through and see what, each of the years is of the games and where they were, what it's all about. There's kind of like a long explanation for each year. It's really laid out nicely. And then on top of it, then what you do is you overlay that, which we're doing today, the kind of the workout details to help us, understand. You see there, click on that history of the games right there on the left side. Scroll down where you were.
Oh, okay.
No. Yeah, see where it says history of the games? Mm-hmm. Now scroll down. All right. And so that's 2007. What's cool, see where it says select a year?
Oh, that is cool.
Right? And it's got every year of the games.
Oh, I missed this.
It's really badass. And so if you really want to dig in, just go there and dig in and read. We're going to give you kind of a little bit of a history of what our experiences were and what our perceptions were. The way we're going to look at it is we'll Google by location, where it was, number of days. We'll talk about the qualification process, mm-hmm. Any notable workouts that happened during that time. And if there's none, we probably won't talk about it. Any notable people. When they came into, when they rose to prominence or had an amazing experience, any memorable moments. Mm-hmm. And then we might do a little bit of coverage of the Masters, adaptive and teens. Let me just say right away that there's a difference between those, and this is one that's probably going to get clipped and put out there on the internet, but as I was thinking about the CrossFit Games over the last, who hasn't been thinking about it for the last couple months, but recently over the last week, because we knew we were going to do this.
Yeah.
There is a difference between the Masters, adaptive and teams, and the actual CrossFit, not the actual CrossFit Games, and the CrossFit Games individuals, the open category.
Open individual.
The open individual category is a participatory sport, much like Spartan, much like, a 10K or a marathon. That's a participatory sport with spectators. There's a lot of spectators, a lot of fans. Anybody that's doing CrossFit likes to watch and learn about the athletes. They like to go on it. So it's a combination. Football is a participatory or is a spectator sport.
Spectator sport, yeah.
So is baseball today. Yeah. Professional, yeah. At the professional level, right? They thrive and they're able to do what they're able to do with the notoriety that they have because of the participation of the spectators that spend all their money, fanning out on their on their sport.
Buying jerseys.
CrossFit Games is both. It's participatory because we all start in the open. We participate. And then it's slowly evolving into a spectator sport. Mm-hmm. This year it's on ESPN again, which is kind of nice. The Masters adaptive and team divisions are participatory sports, but not spectator sports. Mm-hmm. Spectators at those events are primarily friends and family. Mm-hmm. And which is why I'm in favor of separating the two from each other and not making them a combined effort. You separate those two and let the people like the people that are running the Masters division and adaptive divisions have experience in running profitable participatory events.
So this year the games is going to be way more of a
spectator sport. Yeah. And then the teams that, and Dave has hinted in a couple of different podcasts that he's been on as Week in Review, he's hinted that, oh, don't put him in the middle.
I would figure that way we we're looking at him at least.
Yeah. So
we're talking about CrossFit Games, where's your jerseys at?
I actually almost put it. We almost came in. I almost came in with our medal.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Shit.
Sorry. Mine's behind me.
Yeah, his is behind him. Mine's like, I think there's one on the wall. Yeah, there's one on the wall right there. There's the poster. There's the jersey.
Oh, I forgot.
Oh, here he goes. Bring his. I think
I just brought him. I brought him up a little bit. Yeah.
So the Masters teams and adaptive athletes are spectator sports, and those guys, the organizations that are running it, ignore them. The organizations that are running it are good at running profitable participatory events.
Yeah.
And that's where that's why they charge a lot to participate in those events, because they need the money to run the event. And then they get sponsors that come because they're our friends and family. And that is especially in the Masters division, that's a wealthy demographic, and they do have the money to spend. As all the Masters athletes and all their Facebook groups that they have, the myriad Facebook groups that they have, bitch about, this is the most profitable. These are the ones that have the discretionary income to be able to do this stuff. And they bitch and they moan. Okay, that's fine. But you don't come watch yourselves compete. The numbers are there. Anybody that's been to the CrossFit Games, I literally would go and watch my wife, which it was awesome. It was an amazing experience, and I love it. I love it more than anything, watching her compete. But if I wanted to sit in the front row seat, all I had to do was wait for the heat before her, the age group before, 55 to 59. As soon as they were done, they literally leave. And then the seat would be there. We actually get to know the people that are sitting in those seats.
Yeah, because they're there every time.
Yeah, they're there every time. Like, oh, hey, Greg, how you doing? Yvonne going? How's Yvonne's doing? Good. How's your athlete doing? Good. Okay, good. And then we change seats. no one stays and watches more old people work out. It's interesting. It's like the Masters division, like watching. It's really amazing to know that those people are old and able to accomplish those things. But all you're doing is watching a diluted version of the CrossFit Games, right? A slower version of Fran.
What do you think, though, as far as like watching? Like, is, I mean, I don't want to get too far off topic, but
yeah, we're way off topic. Darn it.
Between the teams,
topic. What's the topic? What?
And the Masters, like, who do you think is pulling in more crowd? People to watch the youth? That's going to be the future of the sport, or the past?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. If I had to go watch, I would want to go watch the teens,
right?
Yeah,
because they put up some silly numbers too.
Yeah, they do. No question. And there's a number of those teen athletes that are now competing in CrossFit Games this year. But let's get into the CrossFit Games. So just so everybody has an understanding, and this is my perception. Again, I could be slightly out, but I think it's for the most part, Dave will validate this. Dave Castro. Prior to 2007, just before 2007, I don't know, it was in the fall of 2006, he held up an Outside magazine in a video post. I think it was a YouTube video because we weren't really doing much social media, but it made it to social media eventually. Held up an Outside magazine journal and had a picture of a triathlete, and I think
like the fittest athlete on the planet.
Yeah, and it said the fittest athlete on the planet. I wasn't
claim.
I wasn't sure if it was Lance Armstrong. I have to go back. I used to know who the athlete was. It wasn't?
No. You're talking about the triathlete.
Yeah, it was a triathlete. It was a triathlete. And Outside Magazine claimed it the fittest man in the world. They said, and he throws the magazine away. He goes, no, we're going to have our own test.
Yeah.
Because they weren't.
True test of
fitness. Yeah, true test.
Those are special. Castro that came up with that?
Yeah, Castro that did that post.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I think he and Greg Glassman did discuss like doing something where they could prove out their methodology. And so then the CrossFit Games were announced, the first one, 2007. And Jamie noted today, I didn't know this. I didn't realize this because I didn't go because it was put out on their blog.
Yeah.
And I don't know why we didn't go, but it was held January, started January 1st, New Year's Day in January. Tim, when you get done texting.
No, it's Outside Magazine, Mark Allen.
Yeah, Mark Allen. Okay. That's right. You found it on your phone. Wow. You're not a master.
Thanks for doing my job.
Dude, you're like the opposite of a master's athlete. So why did you go to 2007 games?
Watch it? Me, no.
How come?
Where was I? I was in.
Remember?
I was in Colorado.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so you weren't even out
here. I mean, I knew about CrossFit. I was using it, but I didn't. Okay. I wasn't like close adherent.
Yeah.
I was doing a lot of kettlebells then.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I went in 08.
Yeah. Same thing. We went in 08 too. Well, because
you guys were spectating though, right?
In 2008, I was participating. Yvonne was participating. We went and did. It was weird.
That was December 5th, you said?
No, I finished 75th.
Okay.
You can find the old leaderboards somewhere. But anyway, so 2007, they held the first one. It was just an invitation. Anybody could come. You didn't need to qualify. Mm. So the qualification was show up. And the workouts were the CrossFit Total. That was notable, right? So they did the CrossFit Total, which is
back squat, press, and deadlift.
Press and deadlift, which they repeated in the later CrossFit games, like two
couple times.
Yeah, a couple times they repeated. Yeah. And then they did a hop. They did an actual hopper workout.
Yeah.
Because everybody used to talk about Ben, you're just pulling the stuff out of a hopper, and they had a hopper, and it's still down there at Castor's Ranch, and yeah. It was a grain hopper, and they just turned the barrel, and they pulled out the movements,
the reps,
and the reps, and then they just and they made the workout, the yeah. hopper style workout, and then they had a, you know, much to the endurance coach experts of CrossFit, much to their surprise, there was a 5K trail run.
Approximately.
so there was an endurance event. Can you believe this, Tim? There's an endurance event in 2007.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Thankfully there was far from it in 2008.
Yeah.
Oh, 85th. Sorry.
Far from it. Oh, was that because it was the
profile? That's what I finished. 85th.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're talking about 2007. Tim wants to bring us back to 2008 because he was.
Well, I wasn't there in 2007. So I don't know anything about it. I just watched the old videos, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we did too. So we saw the old videos, the posts about it. We're like, okay, we got to go to this. Mm-hmm. And we went down. And I don't remember. Well, I can pull up. I'll pull up the workouts. But 2000.
I got them right here.
Oh, so by the way, 2007 was at the ranch. 2008 was also at the ranch, yep. Which is in Aromas, California. And the ranch is, you know, when it's a hillside piece of property, so
big hillside.
Yeah, the lower couple, there's probably 2 acres that are, you know, relatively flat, and then the rest of the ranch is all up in the hills, like a steep hill, which Dave used to, essentially, you know, run the hill runs and the all of the events.
The hill run was 750 meters, yeah. Over the rough terrain.
And was there any qualification, Tim, for 2008?
Just sign up.
Just
sign up, drop a waiver.
And
there's a bottle of water from 2008 CrossFit Games.
That's awesome.
Oh, wow.
Concept two.
It was unopened until I qualified. When I qualified in 2017, I opened it and drank it.
Nice.
Wow.
Cool.
Dude, you probably got all kinds of phthalates leaching into your bloodstream.
Maybe it's like preservatives.
It's not much worse. It's not much worse than the Monster.
Wait a minute. And Tim said in 2008 there was no
qualifying.
By the way, it was like in 2008. It was also on January 1st. But there was an endurance event.
Yeah, you're right. It was January 1st.
Yeah, and there was an endurance event, and it was a 750 meter hill run.
They got a 20-minute time limit on it.
It was, I mean, remember, every second counts. That was the every second count.
Yeah, oh, that was the every second count.
Added it all up. When you add up everybody's time, like a lot of them were, you know, well under 10 minutes of actual working out.
Yeah.
So in 2000,
this is the year they had the staggered
significance, right? So this is the first year. This is huge. This is actually kind of a breakthrough year for a lot of reasons. But they made a documentary called Every Second Counts. And it was kind of the story of the CrossFit Games. And it did make it. That's on, I think you can get it on Netflix now. Mm-hmm. But it is.
I watch it for free on YouTube. No need to pay anybody.
And this is the year Jason Kalipa won. This was his kind of
breakout year.
Yeah, his breakout year. And it was cool too. But this is I don't know if Jamie got this idea from here, but the waterfall style start. Is that called a waterfall start?
Yeah, where we like when we do our clean slate.
Yeah. So, well, yeah. Yes, it was clean.
It's actually not where it came, the idea came from, but it's same concept.
So yeah. You finished. So this work, this is really cool because this was an amazing event. And I remember watching this. That's right. So I wasn't participating this year. Mm-hmm. It was 30 squat clean and jerks, 100. So it's basically, well, it was grace.
It was a squat, clean, grace.
Squat, yeah. Clean, grace, but with 155 for the men, 100 pounds for the women, so a little heavier. And you, they started people with a lead based upon where they had finished earlier in all the other events.
So like the accumulated time, how much time do you have ahead of the person behind you is what your lead was.
Yeah, so if you were the top person, you got a head start.
Like right. Spieler was like a minute ahead of the next person.
Yeah. So they got, it was got like a clean slate. So you started, but you had a lead on everybody else, but it put everybody back. So you had a chance to kind of for redemption in this workout. Mm-hmm. And Jason came from behind because he didn't get to start early. He started late and the cameras weren't even on him in the documentary. They were on Josh Everett because they thought Josh Everett, who's an Olympic lift, a really solid Olympic lifter, that he would be the one.
He was only a few reps behind Kalipa too.
That's right.
You know who I think got second in that event and jumped all the way up to third though? Remember the podium?
Thiel?
Who got third place that year?
Who is it?
Jeremy Thiel.
He wasn't even in the final heat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was early on a badass athlete. But it was really cool. The event was really freaking exciting. And the camera,
pickleball pioneer.
Yeah. And so that was awesome to watch. And it's and that, you know, obviously it was Jason, to where Jason was like, well, who is this guy, Jason Kalipa? Because he was, what was interesting was in his approach to the squat clean and jerk.
It was a cluster.
Is he did it as a cluster.
Yeah, squat clean thruster. Squat
clean thruster. It was just brute strength. And he was just classic Kalipa, like stomping up to the bar and just, you know, and thrusting it in. And he was catching up, and then passed Everett with a few reps to go.
Mm-hmm.
And the crowd went nuts. It was really cool.
You know, I wouldn't want to be accused of not having good standards. So
hey, is your mic hooked up?
Yeah, can you not hear me? I didn't change anything.
Giving us some weird
feedback. It's giving us weird feedback. Are you, is your internet
just kind of started too?
I didn't do anything.
Son of a
How's
mother.
That? Any better?
If anybody's listening, we have a few people listening. Can you hear the static?
I can't even hear myself. So.
Yeah, it's only coming from your mic, but it just started in the last minute or so.
Connections in here.
Let me unplug it.
Yeah, try unplugging it and see if that we just hear you better, because it's like getting worse.
So I'll move on to
Dana says she can hear it.
Yeah, when he's unplugged now, I don't hear it.
I don't hear him at all. Did he unplug himself completely?
Probably.
It's frozen.
All right, so let's go to the next year though. We'll keep moving on. We'll get as far as we can without him.
His volume is low as well. Yeah. I noticed that. I turned him up, but now he's gone.
Yeah. So, Tim, if you can hear us, go out and come back in. So log out and log back in. And so then in...
So 2009.
Yeah. So 2009, there was a qualification.
This was
process,
the first
right?
year, yeah.
And that was a qualification process with sectionals, right?
Was that sectionals? Because I think sectionals started in 2010. I think that was a regional. Like they did a regional competition.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. They did. You're right.
Yeah.
It was a regional because we had a Northern California qualifier, which was also at Roma's. And again, 2009 ended up at Roma's as well, but it was much bigger scale.
Yeah.
This is the year Dave got in trouble because there were so many cars.
Was this 2009? Yeah, you're right. 2009. Yeah.
This is the year he got in trouble because so many cars and parked and all the neighbors were pissed off and, you know, people parking on the 101 freeway to get there to watch it. And it was as a direct result of the documentary and then, you know, the growth of social media as well. Yeah. And now instantly
CrossFit too.
Yeah. And people wanted to participate.
Yeah.
And it really was a phenomenal experience. And so that we did, and that's where I did participate. A lot of Diablo members participated in the regional event. The Northern California regional event. One of our athletes, Darren Roston, won that event. The Northern California qualifier.
That was a pretty cool little qualifier too, because each region basically programmed their own thing.
Yeah, that's right.
And from watching the NorCal region, it was like a giant chipper that involved carrying those dumbbells up the hill and
squat.
It was raining too, right? Oh,
it was opened
with deadlifts.
It did earlier in the day. It rained. Okay. Yeah.
And it looked like it was wet from the videos.
Yeah, they did, because they had to put the towels on the bars.
Yeah.
There were a lot of hand tears from the previous workouts, but that workout, the last workout, sent these guys up the hills, and it was again a big finisher workout. And Darren went up there, and he didn't take big steps as he went up. He baby stepped up the hill, which, did the small baby steps and just kind of motored up the hill and didn't put too much effort. In other words, reserved his energy going up the hill.
Mm-hmm.
And hold on one second. Tim is notifying me. 8522. And then then we didn't see him.
Darren?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you mean after he climbed up the hill?
Yeah.
He's back.
Yeah, so because the thrusters and stuff were up on the hill. And so we didn't even see him. And we're just waiting. And when he went up to the top of the hill, he was probably fifth or sixth.
Mm.
And at the top of the hill, I think they had to do like 30 dumbbell thrusters or something like
they
that.
They had to do.
Oh, and some, I thought there's a barbell up there too.
I think they used the dumbbells that they carried, because they carried the dumbbells from the bottom of the hill as a farmer carry up the hill.
And then regional? I think there was,
Yeah. Oh yeah, your sound's much better. Thank you.
Way better.
You can bring his volume down a little bit now.
I'm on this time I went on Chrome. I had a whole bunch of other stuff running. So
bro, I have told you we talked about this.
I should have asked you about your audio too, because it was a little sus.
You cannot use Safari on this. We've done this before.
Now he knows.
Yeah. Had to be convinced. No, I had to do it twice. We'd be convinced.
So yeah, the regional. So that was there any other events as far as the qualifying? Because there was a row burpee shoulder overhead.
I feel like there was a Fran workout, because I remember everybody having hand tears for that. So I
should find that.
But so at the top, so we get to the top. So we're just down there waiting. We're like, where is he? And all of a sudden, a guy comes charging down the hill. And remember that hill coming down? First, the ATV comes down.
Yeah.
Right. The ATV comes down the hill. Dave Castro's ATV, the car comes flying down the hill. And then this guy comes plowing down the hill. I mean, these guys were flying downhill. And it was Darren from Diablo. And we had probably 15, 20 people there, of our members who were there. And we went absolutely nuts. And I would say that probably was one of the defining moments in Diablo's history in terms of like falling in love with the competition process.
Honestly, watching that, because I wasn't there. I watched that maybe 2010. Or actually, I watched that on the journal maybe a year later.
Right.
And that's what kind of hooked me into the games, because watching that event, it was super raw too, because it was like
very raw,
super shaky camera. You can tell that it was raining, lighting was shit, but just the overall intensity that you got through the video was pretty cool.
Amazing. And I think that's the thing when the OGs look back, that those are the kinds of things they miss: the rawness, the dirt, the just the randomness of it. They were, the people, yes, they had judging, but it wasn't just, it wasn't ridiculous.
It was also a time where a region was able to program themselves to unique aspects of that venue.
Did you qualify for the 2009 CrossFit Games, Tim?
No, I did the NorCal Regional at the ranch. But our team did enter a team for 2009.
Okay.
Yeah, that's so I did. You guys. So I competed on the teams. I was in a cut. If I'd have prepared it, I have it on my computer. There's like a documentary piece. It was on the pull up and the overhead squat, the 3-rep overhead squat. And I think I tied for like the highest 3-rep overhead squat.
Oh yeah. Remember that? We did that. That's right.
It was max pull ups. It was max chest to bars.
My people shredded.
It was like three rounds. You had three chances. Yet each team member got like a max set, like three max sets of pull-ups. I think they were chest to bar. And then you also had to establish a 3-rep max overhead squat, and you all had one barbell with weights.
Yeah. And they changed it out. So that was a team event. Diablo had a team for that event as well. That was the team that Yvonne was on. Jeremy Jones, Josh was on that team.
And Kaiser? Was Kaiser there then too?
No. Our third athlete, I want to say, was, it may have, I think Stav went individual.
Nick?
No.
Was it Nick Jones?
I don't know. You're going to, this is going to bug me, but I don't want to get buried in team shit, by the way.
So this is also the first year going back to the games. So now we qualify to go to the games. This is the first year that it was an international competition.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Athletes came.
Well, 2007 CrossFit Games champion for men was from Canada,
but he wasn't qualified to go into there was not a qualifying round to go. So this is qualifying round because they had to have regionals overseas to
right.
That's right. Right. That's right. By the way,
but that is a good point.
Right. Yeah. Jolie, and I forget Jolie's last name.
Gentry.
Jolie Gentry was the female athlete. She was out of CrossFit One World, mm-hmm. Freddie Camacho's gym. A coach there, she was awesome. And then the other athlete was OPT, which is James Fitzgerald.
Was it OPT that won it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Just a phenomenal all-round athlete.
Yeah.
Like arguably the fittest man in the world that year. Mm-hmm. Like you can make a claim that year that he would be the guy, like every CrossFit workout that we did.
I thought it was a firefighter that won it.
No, it was that's Miko Salo you're thinking about.
No. I'm thinking.
You're thinking in 2009 regionals. He, the tall firefighter won regionals.
Jeff. Yeah.
No, I'm thinking of the games.
All right. Well, let's not get off topic. This is a shit. I don't want to go down these rabbit holes.
Yeah. Our facts aren't on point.
Right. No, this is like, we're so 2009 at Aromas. Qualification for 2009 was regional qualifications that brought the best, athletes in the world there. 2010, because of the large number of people at all the regionals, they went to sectionals.
Sectionals. Yeah.
The weirdest name ever for a qualification event. It was sectionals.
It's like high school sports.
I think it's better than sectionals.
Well,
I thought the sanctionals was pretty good.
Yeah.
Hey, way better than sectional. What the fuck does that even mean?
There's no dumber name than sectionals. CrossFit, hold my beer. Oh, that one might get clipped. I'm sorry, Dave. Sanctionals was weird. All right. So sectionals was 2010.
10. Just and the 1 year.
What was really, really cool about sectionals. Think about sectionals if you're listening to this. Sectionals was essentially the and you cannot say that too fast because it sounds like sectionals. It's not, it's sectionals. Is that it was like the open. Mm-hmm. And it was in ours was down at Mitty High School.
Yeah.
In San Jose. So it was only about, 15, 20 miles away.
Neil Maddox had his bleached hair.
Yeah.
That's right.
Running in his five fingers.
And all you had to do was sign up for it. All you had to do was sign up for it.
Yeah.
And it was a series of events at the track at Mitty High School. And we had, I had my RV at the time. We, camped out. We had a big group, large group of athletes that went down there and did it. Mm-hmm. It was just because we did.
That was
like,
fun.
It was like, that's what we did in those days.
That was my first competition going into like a CrossFit sanctioned event, I guess.
Right. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then we went, so from sectionals, then you qualified for regionals they called regionals, and our regional for the West was down in, was that the one down in Irvine, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So then they had regionals, and then from regionals, you qualify for the games. So that was a big year of like, wow, we're getting
starting to
CrossFit.
Get,
we're getting a lot of people.
Progenics was our sponsor.
Oh yeah, that's when
the original formula.
Here's the other thing that happened is that's when costs started to just skyrocket because you got to host all these sectional events, then you got to host all these regional events, and then you still got to host the games. And so then that year's that went. Dave couldn't do it at the ranch anymore. It's just the ranch. There's no way the ranch could accommodate the crowd.
Didn't he say that it was a permit thing? Did they tell him it was a permit thing?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. His neighbors, you know, went in and essentially were complaining. And then they said, look, if you're going to do a crowd like that, you got to have a permit. They get the permit process because he got denied permit access.
Because there was a lot of people there.
Dude, there was so
like watching that hill sprint. Like there's so many people up on that hill.
Yeah, it was crazy. You people parking out on the freeway on 101.
Yeah, that's super sketch.
It was, and they crossing over. They park on the other side of 101, then run across 101 to go to his ranch. Then 2010 ended up, so they locked down. That's where they locked down the Home Depot Center. Which was it the Home Depot Center? Or was the StubHub?
It was Home Depot Center.
And they did the announcement saying that they were going to do it. Remember, it was Kristen Clever and Jason Kalipa did a workout on the tennis court.
That's right. Yeah.
And again, there's a lot of nostalgia. And I think the Wadapalooza guys who held the Western region down there this year, I think they misunderstood that nostalgia. It was Carson, because it was an awesome experience, and they used the full venue. They did the Masters well one year in the parking lot, and then they did it down on the field, and there was like the whole thing was one big huge CrossFit fair in a really neat feeling.
It was a huge CrossFit fair, right? We'll talk about that when we get to 11.
Yeah, but it was also hot as shit down on that tennis court. Like it literally was acted like a sundial, focusing the sun down, you know, or like a parabola that focused the sun and the heat down on that floor, because it was literally burning people.
I feel like just my
tennis players are out there for hours, bro.
I was going to say, I feel like my experience on the tennis court was not a hot experience, but when you go out to the field, that shit was next level heat.
Oh, on the down it was like, Home Depot Center.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's me maybe just being a bitch, but
well, it was probably hot as shit in the stands.
Well, but yeah, it was. Oh yeah, it was with the aluminum.
I still have my Rogue straw hat. I still have my straw hat from like 2012. Yeah.
So anyway, so that's a Home Depot Center. So that was 2010. And who won 2010? Does anybody remember who won 2010?
Graham
Holmberg. And what was memorable about that whole deal?
Rich not getting a rope climb.
Rich
got one rope climb.
Yep, Rich Froning, got one rope climb, and he said, well, he was doing his rope climbs legless because he's just like, oh, it's a rope. I guess I'll climb it, you know, just pull myself up it. And he didn't have the technique down because he didn't do rope climbs or didn't practice rope climbs.
And let's also keep in mind where that event was placed at the end of that competition. This is probably my favorite year as far as like a finals event, because they had three events. They went back to back to back. Remember, Castro would come out and be like, all right, we're going to do, was it like 20 or 30 hand release pushups? And that, yeah, people were getting burned, actually, now that you mention it, like on the floor.
Yeah.
And they had to go over that wall.
Yes, that's
right. To do something else. And they come back over. And then like, all right, that workout's done. Now let's move on over to the bar and snatches. You got three rounds for time. 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so that's right. So the athletes were out on the floor. This was the final. The athletes were out on the floor and they didn't know what the workouts were that they were going to have to do.
And they did three events back to back to back. Yeah.
Yep. It also, the 2010 was memorable because it opened up with Amanda.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And Amanda, you know,
first time in the
975 muscle up and squat snatches. And this is where we saw people that we thought were amazing just fold. And you know, there's memorable clips of Jason Kalipa walking with the
classic.
Remember walking with the bar,
almost
taken out of camera
with the running bar. Snatch.
These guys,
squat running snatch.
It was crazy, but it was so fun to watch. Yeah. It was so fun to watch. So that was 2010, and sectionals, regionals, games, and then who won that? Who won that on the women's side?
Clever.
Oh, Kristen Clever. By the way, 2009, going back to 2009, that was when Annie Thor's daughter like struggled on the muscle ups, couldn't get muscle ups.
She got her first muscle up. Yep. She learned how to do a GHD sit up.
Yeah.
At the games.
You remember those guys did strict handstand push ups with that wide, those wide parallettes.
Was that 2009?
Yeah. Because that was,
that's right.
There was a great clip.
Yes.
Because JT, Jeremy Teal, Chuck Carswell's no repping him while he keeps swinging this kettlebell. he's like, what do you want? And Chuck goes, I want the bottom of the bell to face the sky. And he's doing this while he's doing reps, never stops. And then he makes the change and he's like, there you go. But it was just like the greatest attitude of like, I'm not upset. Just tell me what you want.
Yep. As it should be.
It was great. But yeah, I mean, like they had some tough moves, like, and that was like a deficit. There was no padding. Their head was like on the hard plates.
And it wasn't just like, a deficit. It was a wide deficit. They had like a 30-inch standard width as far as where it was.
It was up against the wall. There was that was like a chipper or something like that.
Yeah, it was wall ball, handstand pushups, and the GHDs.
Because his name from Colorado, Broomfield, MBS CrossFit. He won that. I can't remember his name.
But, by the way, 2009, if you ever see it on the internet, because it does come up occasionally, 2009 is the year that they did the railroad spikes.
Yeah.
Into the railroad.
The rebar.
Yeah, piece of rebar. It was
it a rebar?
Chaos.
Yeah, it's a long piece of rebar that they had to hammer down to certain depth.
It was awful. It did not.
Fingers were getting split open.
Oh yeah, these guys are just doing little tiny taps. They weren't like they. I think they imagined them doing these big, huge swings.
But that also then evolved later on into the hammer.
Yeah, the hammer. Yeah.
Hackenbrook crushed it because they loved it. The announcers were like, well, you know, he did. You know, he used to work in construction.
Yeah, that's right. It is an accuracy component. It's a way to test accuracy.
And then 2011, we have the Open, and then the Open went.
Start of the Open.
Yeah, the start of the Open. That's the first year we did the Open qualification. And then there were
six events.
Yeah, but hang on a second. It was a six-week Open.
6 week. Well, 7 weeks because the first workout
with like 26,000 entrants and it crashed.
Yeah,
they gave us a whole extra week for that workout too.
I should have redone it. I would have done way.
I did it like five times. I did so many double unders so this week period.
I should have done it. I should have redone it.
And then. It went the Open into
regionals. Yeah, regionals was in Santa Clara.
Yeah,
outside, in the rain.
Yeah, that was fun. That was down.
We had a girl there.
Yeah, it was Santa Clara, San Jose.
It was Santa Clara. It was Santa Clara
County Fairgrounds.
Santa Clara County Fairgrounds, but it was in San Jose.
Yeah.
Oh, it was.
Yeah. Okay. And those were just great fun. Like the layout there was awesome. Yeah. Like we had a huge crowd down there for that because we had a team participating.
Mm-hmm. This was the year that I ended up kind of coming over because it's right. The regionals here was 3 weeks after I closed down CrossFit Burn.
It was so much fun. And then from there people went to the games. And the games again was down at the Home Depot Center. Notable workouts for that was the first year that kind of started opened up with a really big long event that was ocean swim and sand run, chest bar pull ups. It was the beach workout. They actually took it to a different.
Miko blew his eardrum.
Yeah.
That's right.
He was a favorite
in the waves.
First dive into the water, which is crazy too. Doesn't he jump out of helicopters?
Yeah, no, he's a diver, but he is a diver.
Which is what's crazy about.
Well,
that.
It is and it isn't because if you get the timing,
just the wrong time,
absolutely wrong timing because you get that cacophony of the wave closing.
Yeah.
There was some.
I was out there watching it on the beach. We went out there. Standing on the pier. Miko's like over after the workout because his ears were all jacked up. Yeah. He's like puking his guts out. It was crazy.
It wasn't good.
No, it's interesting.
I think Bridges might have won that.
What's interesting about this is classic Castro, right? Because in 2011, he brings back rope climbs again, but he does it with cleans, heavy cleans. Rich Froning wins again, right?
So, almost like a redemption session.
He did. This was also a year where they had some major embarrassments. Again, another embarrassing moment for CrossFit because they had the skill components.
The softball throw.
The broad jump.
The L-sit was cool. Right?
L-sit was good.
Because they put the plate out there and your heel had to be above the plate. Yeah. But then they had the max distance softball throw.
And max weight pull-up.
Could have gone without.
Yeah, max weight pull-up. So the softball throw, though, was interesting. The little piece of trivia on that, because Dave said that Greg Glassman wanted them to throw left-handed. He wanted everybody to throw with their opposite hand.
Jason already threw it into the stands.
He lost his ball.
He's gonna.
Oh man, that's another piece of like CrossFit lore.
But I thought, but it was good because some of those baseball guys, like there's a lot of baseball players.
Yeah,
yeah. But they didn't do so well because they could throw far, but you had to get it in the lane.
Yeah, the accuracy.
They had a dedicated area. So it wasn't just max throw. It wasn't like a shot put where it goes out wide. It was like down a channel that the ball had to land in.
It's like a 15-foot lane or something like that.
I don't remember who won it, but I mean, I know baseball players were like Rich, Spencer, Hendel, like Smith.
It was a softball throw too, right? It wasn't
softball,
baseball, yeah.
So
they had the two skill sets.
There was the GHD med ball throw. Remember
that's
one?
That's the next year. Yeah.
Oh, was that the next year?
Yeah,
oh,
that's okay. 2012. So 2012. Right. Now we've established a regular kind of season of what to expect for CrossFit for the next few years. Open, semifinals or
regionals,
right? Open regionals and then games. And so this is the one that everybody got comfortable with.
Yeah.
And this is really an interesting.
Was this year 5 weeks too? Or this is when they went from six to five.
Yeah. This was five weeks for the open. And what's really telling about this next 4 or 5 years is that when you put a system in place where it's predictable, that's when growth happens. Mm-hmm. It's one of the components of growth and popularity, because athletes know what to expect, fans know what to expect, and it is one of the components of building a successful spectator sport as well. Mm-hmm. Is that if people know what to expect and can predict what it's going to expect, they're more likely to follow along with it. Mm-hmm. And so now you get these next 5 years where everything's like, okay, open, you know, semifinals or some form of semifinals, regionals, and then the games, and like everybody knew what to expect. 2012 was again at Carson.
Mm-hmm.
Anything notable this year?
Yeah, we took third.
Oh yeah. CrossFit.
So which year was that?
2012.
Our team took third place.
That was
my first year on the team.
That was the girls, all girls final, right?
Yep. I did Grace. That was also the introduction to the Big Bob.
So in the team, they did all the girls final the previous year too.
Yeah.
Which we were really upset about, because we got blown out. We had a blow up on our team to work one
to qualify to that seven.
So the two workouts before we blew up, and then we were in second place and we didn't make the final six.
I remember this, the points
final 10.
You guys had to have at least 31st. To move on to the finals, because you guys had such a point lead, and you ended at like 32nd.
Yeah, it's horrible. Yikes. That was 2011. 2012, were year of redemption. Alessandro Pacelli was on our team. Jamie Lee was on the team, and man, those workouts just were right in our. We had someone for every single workout on the team. It was so great, and that was a lot of fun. And our fans, we had so many fans down there watching.
This was the year we had
two teams, right?
No, this is just the one year. We had two teams at regionals.
Yes,
that's right. We did have
two teams. Who was it that had multiple teams? Was it Rockland?
This was a year that there's only one team made it onto that, but there was multiple teams at the regional level.
No, was there any affiliates that had multiple teams? Is what he's asking.
Yeah, I don't think there was.
Okay.
The next year, I think that we started seeing some with like Invictus or something.
There's someone else. Mm. Anyway, so. But also, just going back to 1 year, 2011 was the first year that CrossFit had masters at the games in 2011. And the category was 50 plus. So you had to be 50 plus in 2011. In 2012, they had age groups every year. What is that?
This is my buddy, Ken Clark.
Oh, yeah, Ken Clark. That's awesome. That was that was year one?
Yeah.
That's so cool. And I just remember it was kind of inspirational. And the bro that won out of CrossFit New England that won that year. Guy's an icon in the sport. Oh, and I can't remember his name right now. That's gonna kill me. But anyway, He's probably listening. Going to listen later. Just go.
Howard. Is he a dentist?
He's at CrossFit New England at Ben Bergeron's affiliate. I'll think of it in a little while. But anyway, so then next year they had age groups, and the age groups.
He's not a dentist. Maybe Hiller would know.
Yeah. In 2012, Tim, what was the first age group? Did they do 40 to 44? Yeah, they
no,
did.
They, no,
they. Or 45 to 49. They did 45 to 49 because I was in it. In the, in
I think that was the
and first. So was Yvonne. Yeah. Yvonne and I were both in it. Yeah, in 2012 was 45 to 49 was the first age group. They added five more years.
Did they go every 5 years then?
Yeah, they went every 5 years. It could have been every 10 years.
I was first eligible in 2016 for the 40s.
I think it was every 10 years.
I don't know when they added 40s.
Because they didn't have that many like heats essentially, because it was only top 20, right?
Yeah.
Top 20 of each age group. Yeah, I think they had two heats of each.
You're right. It was 10 years.
Yeah.
Masters. No one, it was fun. It was an awesome experience. Mm-hmm. So that was 2010 was first age group, and it was only 50 plus. 2012 they added multiple age groups
every 10 years.
Yeah, every
40 10 up.
Yeah, and then
2011 was the first.
Yeah, 2011 was first. I'm sorry. Yeah. 2012 was when they added the age group. And then 2013 was when they added the 5 year increments.
But it was starting at 40.
Starting at 40,
yeah,
40 to 44.
35 didn't start until like after 18.
Yeah, 45 to 49. Yeah. Yep. All right, we're moving really slow on this. How long have we been going?
Brief review.
God dang it! I wanted to go much faster, and you and what I have at the bottom of here.
You got three people that actually live it. That's the thing. It's like you've got three people that, we've all lived it from different angles.
Well, let's keep in mind too. So 2011, we started with the open. We had one extra week. Then 2012 to 2015, 16, 17 is when do we just have the weird year? We could jump ahead to that because then nothing really changed.
19
is when it changed.
I will say,
well, yeah, because 19 was when. Well, but it was because so they did 19 normally, right? But yes, the 2020 Open was in October of 2019.
That's right. That's right. Okay.
And that thing, because Greg blew up the games and changed everything. It's ironic. Ironically, that's what allowed the 2020 games to happen, because if you had not done the open in October of 2019, you would not have been able to finish an open in 2020 because of COVID.
Yeah.
So you already had all your qualifiers from the open, and then maybe a couple of guys that had done sanctionals already.
I think there was like maybe two or three sanctionals at that time.
They cut them. Then they're like, shit, and we're done. And then it's like, oh crap, what do we do?
Yeah, I remember.
And but you already had a lot of people. You didn't need to do regionals, or I can't remember how they did it, but
Well, they did. That was when they had the. They were still trying to do the. What was it, the country champion?
Yes. That was 2019. 2019 games. So the 2019 Open set the stage for everybody to then, because then the games in the summer of 2019 when it was like the whole world was there, because because 2018 was my last year trying for it. And then I was like, I'm good. And then 2019 was, that's when they had like a bazillion countries. They reduced Masters again. They went again back down to 10 athletes each. Mm-hmm. They really cut the funding, if you will, and coverage. Like you couldn't see anything on Masters. Mm-hmm. No events were broadcast.
So just going back to where we were before we got sidetracked again. So just to talk about the people. So we had Graham Holmberg won in 2010. Fantastic athlete. Mm-hmm. You know, and the story there was Rich Froning missed the rope climb, couldn't make it. Kristen Clever, badass athlete that we all kind of OG athlete, won the women. For the next 5 years, Rich Froning dominated the CrossFit Games. So 11, 12, 13, 14, he dominated the Open or the CrossFit Games. And it was awesome to watch. The guy just is an amazing athlete, but it helped shape and define what CrossFit is today. Mm-hmm. And still continues to be as a result of the presence of Rich Froning and Mayhem, mm-hmm. CrossFit Mayhem.
Yeah.
And the influence that they have on the community. He's looked upon as an icon in the sport. He went on to do team competition and won, five times on a team, five or six times on a team.
Took one second place finish.
Yeah, one second place finish on a team. So he helped rebuild kind of bring significance to the team events.
Yeah.
So from 2011 to 2014, Rich Froning dominated. Then Ben Smith won. And then we go and move into the Frazier era.
Yep.
And Matt Frazier wins from
5 years.
Yeah, 16 to 20, mm-hmm. Which was
20 or 21.
He won to 20.
21. He did, his final was at the ranch when they did the COVID.
That's right.
Is that really the final? I thought he did another year after that.
No.
No, because him and Tia did the holding hands across the
field. That's right. That's right. So, here's the other thing for people to know that I think is significant is from 2011 to 2016, it was kind of the international. It was international. The growth of international on the women's side. So, you know, Froning, Smith, Frazier, were all U.S. athletes. Even Medeiros, right? Mm-hmm. So for for 10 years or 12 years, it's all America. Mm-hmm. But on the other side, on the women's side, yeah. which they helped grow the international side of the sport, first of all, was
Annie.
Yeah, Annie Thorstadter for 2 years, right? That was just massive. Then Sam Briggs won in 2013. Yeah. She's an incredible athlete. Camille Leblanc-Plazine from Canada. And then
it went to
Katrin Davidsdottir.
Yeah.
Katrin Davidsdottir. For 2 years. So that's when Iceland kind of became a force and it brought that influence in, which helped shape and define what CrossFit is today as well. Because mm-hmm. they run an incredible facility in Iceland, mm-hmm. but also just kind of that international influence. They are responsible. And then interestingly, in 2017 on, for the next 6 years, Tia Claire Toomey, mm-hmm. Australian, all of a sudden brings in the international component. And then Laura Horvath, in 2023. And so you have no American women on the, at the top of the podium since 2010. Isn't that, that's just crazy. It's
clever. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is kind of wild. My ladies.
Oh, okay. That statement, that statement was made by Jamie Lee, not by Craig or Tim. and so if we go back to the game, let's go kind of back to where we were, the fundamental shifts, because we were talking about that. I want to get into that just a little bit. Where's my board? I can look at. So you look at, okay.
When did endurance become important?
When did endurance become important?
Pendleton.
Yeah.
Pendleton.
2012.
The very first.
Dude, when they're walking backwards up and down the hills.
After the swim,
very first CrossFit Games had a 5K run.
It's true.
Sorry, you need trail endurance run for that. Yeah, trail run. There's always been an endurance component. Almost every games there's been an endurance component. One or two, maybe there wasn't. Yeah,
every second counts. Wasn't
for the most part, there's been an endurance component of the game since, someone made a comment that there's been no endurance. And CrossFit athletes didn't know anything about pacing before 2013.
That's also maybe kind of true. Watch Felipe blow up.
You're talking
that's,
again.
That's one guy.
I tell you what, why don't
Nico
you
Nico Salo? Did you not watch this?
You're talking one guy out of 80 athletes, all right?
Well, that's what's making people point. Like they don't know how to pace.
Yeah,
because they're highlighting that.
That's exactly what they're doing. Why don't you go fanboy on Chris, whatever his name is?
Watch the Sisu documentary. That's like the best thing, right? Because everybody's like, who the heck is this Miko guy in 2009? Yeah. And the guy rode a 5K every day, or 10K every day in his little closet, right? And he'd run through the woods and he'd every single day, 6 miles a day. Like the guy was, 45 minute EMOMs, just insane.
Did he win the endurance run that year?
He won, right?
An 09? Yeah. The 7K? Yeah.
There is a, you look at Tia Claire Toomey, she, you know, she confessed that, I don't know, it was, the year they did the marathon row, and we didn't even talk about some of these workouts that we've haven't covered, that some monumental workouts. One of the years, what year was,
that was, can you 13. Tell me what year,
2013, they did the marathon row. No.
No, half marathon. Yeah, that started with a 2K.
It was 13.
Oh, yeah, that's right, 2013.
We were watching it poolside.
Started with a 2K, and you finish. So that's one score, and then it's a half marathon. Yeah. Half marathon row, but the first 2,000 meters was an event, and Kalipa won both. It was impressive. Kalipa
and Sam Briggs. Did Sam Briggs win both, too?
Sam Briggs won both. Dude, she did, Sam Briggs rode like a sub-7
phase.
Sub-7 2K, and then and then finished. And so I think they knew about pacing.
Yeah.
But but the God, we got off topic. What was I going to say about them?
My bad.
Big events.
Yeah, the big events. Anyway, so that was one that
half marathon row was gross.
Yeah, marathon. But here's what I was going to say. So if you're athletes, if you're paying attention to, you should be watching these Dave Castro interviews with all your fellow athletes, because he's dropping innuendos and hints of what might be coming. But one of the things he asked Tia about, because Tia is a phenomenal endurance athlete, and she said, look, the year of the marathon row, but that while she was training for the marathon row, Shane had her do a run a marathon. We woke up one day, what's my training day? You're running a marathon. She's like, okay. And she ran a marathon. And she said, she asked Dave, she goes, Dave, hey, well, you know, how come you don't put a marathon in? He goes, well, that'd be cool. Except he goes, I don't want to really beat up the athletes that much, because they won't, you know, he goes, I'm afraid with a marathon row, you can, because they're seated and there's not as much pounding. Mm-hmm. He goes, but with an actual marathon, he goes, they're going to be too crushed.
Yeah. It's a lot on that.
And then she said, well, an Ironman, what about an Ironman? And he's like, oh, that would be cool too. And so Jamie and I were talking about it, I honestly now at this point, now if you asked me like 5 years ago, I said no, or 10 years ago, I said, no, that's just dumb. That's an endurance athlete, you know, athlete thing. But now these athletes are fully capable of doing it. And
sprint triathlon.
Sprint's different. Like sprints, I've done sprint triathlons. I've done a bunch of them. They're just, that's nothing. You're over in no time, and you got different modalities. You get on the bike, you can rest. A half iron or an iron is brutal. It is brutal. It is a whole different thing, because you're especially ending on the run. But here's what I'm thinking. This is my idea. I'm putting it out on this podcast. If it happens, I'm gonna go back and clip it and
calling say, it.
It came from here.
Claim it. But I'm also gonna text Dave too. And that is, yes, do a marathon, or yes, do an Ironman or a half Ironman. And what you do is you announce it immediately after this games. Next year, we're going to be doing a marathon or a half marathon. That way you give the athletes time to prepare and include that in their training. Right, so that no one can say I wasn't prepared. Well, you knew that, and you make that a big event. They'll draw in, and it would be really cool to see how these CrossFit athletes
bring more attention to that event.
They'll turn in some sick times.
Yeah,
I think you would get everybody will be under 4 hours on a marathon. Mm. You'll get several people that'll be under 3 hours. You'll get several people that'll be under 3 hours. If this old man can run a 3:36 at 2:05. When I was weighing 205, I ran a 3:36 marathon. Those athletes can run sub-3.
Yeah, and then continue to compete for the rest of the
game. And then continue to compete.
I would imagine if they did do something like that, they would probably put it like a day or two, like doing it on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. So that way there's at least a day off going into the rest of the event.
Oh, yeah.
I'd vote for a half.
Half marathon. I would vote for a half, too.
Half marathon or half?
13 miles. You can keep doing other stuff after a half. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I did. So D-Chap, shout out to Doug Chapman. When I was doing the program, I can't remember what year, I came over to your neck of the woods and did a half marathon, like a turkey trot thing. Because the goal was run a half marathon later that same day. Try to, you know, max out one rep max clean and jerk. Mm. And I tied with no chalk, no tape, no lifting shoes in my driveway. I ran a ridiculously slow and painful, half marathon. And then, tied my clean and jerk PR.
Wow. Okay.
Like so an hour after getting home.
That example right there is exactly why it should be a marathon and not a half marathon.
Yeah, but
like okay. He said it was slow. There's okay, no intensity
still
to that.
Sucks. It still sucks.
He can do a half marathon and get and PR is clean and jerk. Now let's talk about the fittest in the world.
But now what if he ran it as fast as he could and then came back to try to
Well, lift? That's a good point.
And had 12 other events that you got to do over the course of
I do a couple years I want to cover. So we talked about that. Let me ask you real quick. Any other notable workouts that you remember in that time from like 2012 to 2012 was when they did that rope climb, legless rope climb workout mm-hmm. where people were literally falling from the top of the ropes at Alessandro Pichelli.
Oh, yeah. Alessandro I was standing right there.
One for the women.
Yeah.
Oh, it was. We were sitting in the stands,
dude, watching the teams go.
When the teams went, and we were in the stands, and it was almost heartbreaking.
Individuals is one thing because they're all super fit and could manage it to a point, but some of the team athletes were not there.
Yeah, no, the individuals were melting down too.
Yeah,
that one was a good one. You know, you had some fun stuff like the killer cage.
Yeah,
right. They had the watt bike, the killer cage, and then the front squats.
Oh yeah,
that was 2011.
And what was the killer cage? Just the
just monkey bars.
Monkey bars.
Yeah. Just monkey bars.
That was the one that took Diablo out for 11.
Okay, be quiet.
Sorry, we got
to point anybody out.
I'm not going to.
But that killer cage was interesting too. Watching the unathleticism of some of the athletes. You're like, okay, that's not the ticket. And then you can see the athletes that were graceful and kind of figured out the swing. That was kind of cool to watch.
The burden run was good.
The burden run. Yeah. That was the one where you had to carry like the pig flip,
and then you carried the log. You had to carry the log from the football field all the way to the stadium.
That was the year that
he pulled the sled.
Yep, that was the year the team. So we flipped the pig. Didn't get a chance to touch it at all. But that was also the year that we had the woodworm.
Yeah.
It was the log.
Fingers getting pinched.
Cauliflower ears, concussion. It was crazy.
What about here's the other thing that Dave keeps talking a lot about, by the way. So for 2024, again, athletes pay attention because Dave keeps talking about this. One, he talks about benchmarks. He goes, What's your favorite benchmark?
When's the last time you did Cindy?
Yeah, and he keeps saying Cindy.
He asked everybody that.
I mean, they've done Mary.
Well, I know.
They did Mary in Madison.
Here's the other thing he asked about, and this is something that I liked watching, and then it's kind of become a part of the CrossFit Games, is the Criterion.
Yeah. Oh, that was actually really
that was fun. The bike race.
Yeah, the bike race.
Yeah, way better than the mountain bike one.
And so
the mountain bike was boring.
That was in Madison, mm-hmm. and they basically created a
10,000 meters
high speed bike Criterion. Class. And I remember talking to Chris McCreary here at our gym who used to race Criterions, and he said these things are they are literally the most dangerous things in cycling is the bike Criterions. Because if you get one screw up in the pack, because the pack rides together and you get one malfunction or you could just get an errant rider, it can take out the entire pack at high speed, and they are pedaling at
high speed.
There
was a couple of really close calls too during that event.
Oh, there were.
Yeah. I mean, there were some pretty epic bike failures. Right. I mean, didn't Vellner, like his pedal broke off?
His pedal broke off, yep. So, but then he took it to, I think he, you know, in the interest of kind of slowing it down, is they brought it out and made it a mountain bike-ish. Like,
well, the mountain bike was the first year in Madison. Yeah. And then they went to the Criterion and then went back to the
bike. Okay. Like, oh, we won't be doing that again.
Yeah, that was actually really a cool, fun event to watch. Though,
oh, it was fun. Well, the other thing with those bikers, like if you get, you don't want novices on bikes, or like even amateurs, not even just novices. You don't want amateurs on the bikes. Criterions are for professional riders.
You need to be good in close contact.
The head-to-head obstacle course 2017. Yeah. It was raining.
Oh, so that was fun. So that was
we had to do that too. That was another one of the ones like the way Bosman did some events where everybody did it. The Masters did the obstacle course too. So that was good.
Yeah. And that obstacle course was set up like a kind of a Navy SEAL training thing. And it harkened back to the original days of CrossFit and then Dave Castro's own roots. And Dave Castro did get the log, the whole log work, the teamwork of the log from his time at the Navy mm-hmm. SEALs and in the BUDS training where they, mm-hmm. you know, they have to have the raft and they carry the raft together. It's the something. Equalizer. Yeah. They, you know, so it makes it, everybody on the team has to work together.
Yeah.
And so then, yeah, the obstacle course, and you go, you know, what was cool about the obstacle course too, is you'd go there as a spectator to the games and you walk into games, you walk around, and then you come around and see that obstacle course. It just gave you just chills because you see this really cool thing that you'd want to climb on and yeah. you'd want to
no,
see.
No, it's scary, dude. I'm telling you.
But that was
no, I know it's scary, but it's like
that first 17, the first thing you start with was the
carbonet.
Yeah.
Carbonet thing and up and over. And like, I don't do this stuff. Yeah. Some guys were just like zip zip, and I'm like, yes. So
that
I
wasn't
did
the first year.
17, yeah. But 2018, like I literally was dead last.
So that wasn't the
really?
First year that
on
they
that
did
event?
The
yeah.
That wasn't the first year they did the O course. Pendleton.
Was oh, the first Pendleton, they did an O course. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's oh, that's right. What yeah. year was that?
12.
2012. They yeah. did the obstacle course. I remember that. So I like that kind of stuff. It'll be interesting to see if they are able to do anything like that in Madison. The you know the Chad workout that they're going or in Fort Worth, the Chad workout. I think they're going. We can talk about that in a little bit.
I think it's harder to package it in Fort Worth just because like you're going to be doing so much inside.
Yeah,
I mean, Roe could make an indoor. You know, so it could be very much like a Ninja Warrior.
Yeah,
they could do it. I mean, they could put it together.
Oh, that's right. They could do it in Ninja Warrior style. Now, real quick, just coming back, I want to just
touch that on would it. Be fun because then you'd go in order. You could do like qualifying rounds and then do knockouts and then like who gets farther type of thing and mm-hmm. on time. You could totally steal, you know, the Ninja Warrior.
Oh, concept, yes.
Mm-hmm. Concept.
You know, well, which I've actually sent messages to Adrian, you know, unanswered emails to Adrian and Dave about doing like time trials
yeah.
type stuff.
Yeah.
Where, you know, and then you each one, like here's the time to beat. And then when the athlete's going, you have a running clock, you know, them versus the other or them versus the best time, mm-hmm. like how close they are to the best time or not the best time. That would be, and you could do it the same thing with Ninja Warrior style. Would be a really for the spectators would be really cool to watch.
Build suspense. It'd be great viewing even at home, right? Like the. Yep.
So you know. just real back to our topic because the whole subject was you know the history of the games, and we are going back and forth here, and I love it. But the just 2018 was a pivotal year for the games because that's when the massive budget cuts happened. A lot of the games teams were laid off.
After yeah. the games.
Yeah, after the games.
That was the first year of Madison, correct?
Yeah. No, second year.
That was the second year of Madison.
17. Okay.
17 was the first.
Okay. 16 was the last year at Home Depot Center. We had a team there. It was fun yeah. as hell. And then 17. And then after 18, after the games, that's when the cuts made. And then in 2019 was the year where they did the sectionals.
Sanctionals,
that's right. Gosh, dang it. And the sanctionals... What was interesting about the sanctionals, and they actually, and there's a lot of argument for why they should, you know, re-bring those back.
Yeah.
Because it did allow the fans to come, but every single event programmed their own stuff.
Yeah.
In the different locations.
Yeah.
And so you were getting, you know, you couldn't make any real comparisons on the athletes on workouts because they were all in different locations around the world.
And the cool thing about that too is then it kind of highlights where they came from as far as like where they qualified, you know, like the winner, sure. they qualified out of this particular sanctional, which was programmed by so-and-so.
So that was,
I also like it because that was the year I think there, you could probably double check me on it, but there is the most money available for athletes throughout the season. Athletes
true.
Were able to true. Win more most of the money. Yeah. Yes. Opportunity. Yeah. So if you want to grow, to me, if you want to grow the sport, just let the free market create opportunities mm-hmm. for athletes to make money.
Yeah. And encourage sponsors maybe to be the host of the events. Like, hey, use this as an opportunity to promote your product or service.
More opportunity for more.
Yeah, I think so. And that was kind of what they were thinking is like turning it over to the markets to run it. And then in 2000, so that was 2019.
19.
And then so, and that's when they said, okay, we're going to move the season now. We're going to do the open in the fall October. Instead of, yeah. So that's why we had two opens in 2000. Man, that was for
an affiliate. We hosted that year.
Holy crap. We hosted twice.
Yeah, but that was not to back to back years though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, was it back to back? Yeah, we did 2000. We did the 2019 open and then we did the 2020 open.
Oh shit.
So we did January and then we did October and they did it. We did October because we had experience like, okay. And it was like a last minute thing. Yeah, someone backed out, said, hey Diablo, can you do it? And so we did it.
Yeah.
And then, well, we all know what happened in 2020. Mm-hmm. I still try to forget that year. And then the games ended up being a very,
let the rage fuel you.
Yeah. The one thing that upset me about 2020 is that the games was cut to
five men, five women.
No, ten, it was 10, wasn't it? It was 10. It's 10 men, was 10 it? Women. Yeah, it was 10 men, 10 women. And Alessandra was in the top, she made the top 20, but she didn't make the top 10. Hmm. Alessandra Pacelli. And so she got cut. She actually didn't get to go to the games. Had it been the regular 40, she would have made it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, because then they had the qualifying at home where they had to do the workouts.
Yes. Remember the qualifying, the online qualifying. But that's where it started the whole online process, essentially. Yeah. And so then we move into our current modern era, and now we've got online qualification, quarterfinals, into semifinals on Insight. And then they basically brought back the CrossFit-sponsored semifinals. And there's a couple of them that are run by other venues, but the programming is essentially dictated by CrossFit. So we're kind of back to where we're back to the heyday years of 2000.
So quick
2012 to 2018.
So 2020 was five men, five women. I'm looking at the leaderboard. It was tight. Only five men and five women competed in 2020.
Really?
At Aromas. Yeah. Fraser, Sam Quant, Medeiros, Noah Olson, and Jeffrey Adler. Everybody else is zeros.
Really?
Yeah. Only took five men, five women.
Shit. Okay. Jamie's right. All right. I'm wrong. Once every like 15 podcasts, I'm wrong.
I'll just fact check it.
That was good. Okay. So then now we're at, let's go to 2024. So we know what happened in all those years. And we know who the winners are and everything else. But 2024 down in Fort Worth. Yeah, I think so we already know there's 4 mile swim. There's a swim run. There's that 4 mile
swim. 4 mile swim.
Well, there's a swim run.
Well, swim run.
Accumulated 4 miles.
Yeah, accumulated 4 miles. And then there's the Chad workout, which I can't imagine that they're going to have them. And no one's asked this question. These athletes are like, please ask this question. Are you going to have a judge stand there and count 1,000 steps?
You're going to have to tag out. You have to tag out judges.
Oh, bro.
They can have a button where you have to stand up and reach to touch the button.
Something. Something. Dude.
Where your head touches. Like, that means you stand all the way up.
Okay, you know what? I want to get back to the CrossFit Games. I'm going to go down there. I'm going to judge this year.
Yeah,
and then luck. Okay, Craig. Yeah. You're gonna be judge, and I'll be the most nervous bro out there. I will have 20 cups of coffee, like, and I'll be focused the entire time. And then I'll hear something cheer over to the side, and I'll turn back. I'm like, what number are we on?
Well, 20 cups of coffee. You're gonna have to go to the bathroom while you're counting.
Dude, I'll wear a diaper.
Maybe halfway through. Like,
I gotta go to the pee-pee dance over here. Hurry up!
Now they're giving the judges
two,
diapers.
Three, four, five.
You just stand there.
Just go, man. Just go.
Just go, man. Talking to the judge.
Dude, that'd be the best. My pants. I'm counting, and you just see this wet spot start growing in my shorts in front of.
Don't worry about that puddle. Just keep stepping.
So step in it. It'll slip.
All these poor judges that are excited to go down to the games this year. Oh, it's gonna be forward. It's gonna be amazing. You're judging Chad. Fuck. Oh my god. Meanwhile, like every online pundit is watching, going, oh, that guy didn't step all the way up on the back. Who's that
What's
judge?
What's wrong with this judge? Oh my
Why god. Is his pants all wet?
Why are his pants
all wet? Where are the standards? Pay these judges. Oh my
god. Oh my
god. We need professional judges. Get some professionals in there to count to 1,000.
Do you actually think they're really going to make them step up the boxes?
No.
They're going to bring fifth graders into, you know, practice counting to 1,000. It's going to be a classroom for each athlete.
Oh, my God.
Come on, Johnny.
No one has asked this question. I'm listening to every athlete interview and no one's asked this question. I don't even see it in the comments. Who's the judge? How the judge is going to count this? Who's going to judge it? What are you judging for? Are you going to judge the is the step up all the way up or is the step up not all the way? Is there two?
Do you have to look straight ahead or can you look down?
Oh my God. This is an issue. So, which tells me, because Dave says it with a twist, here's what I predict. It's going to be either indoors at the Diggies Arena because it's right before the cut. So, it won't.
It's right before the cut.
So it's on, when's the cut on Saturday? Cut's on Saturday. And we know the Friday night's events in the stadium. So it's not outside. So it's going to be inside. It's going to be Diggies Arena. I think what they're going to do is make them go up the stairs.
Yeah. Bleachers. I think they'll do bleachers, not the stairs, because the bleachers, it's like a bigger step.
Yeah, but they can't. I don't think they can do the bleachers because sold out.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess it's in the middle. It's not like it's like the first workout. Because right. I'm thinking
fire marshal won't let them run up the lane.
Well, whether or not it's also bleachers or seats, so that's another thing.
Right.
I'm thinking
run up the seats.
I'm thinking how they shut off the lanes when they were doing the sandbag wheelbarrow event in the stadium.
Yeah, they did.
They had closed off designated area.
Yeah, they did. But again, you got people to pay for tickets.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So here's what I'm thinking is that if they do it on the stairs, then they just, if the stairs aren't big enough, then every other stair's got a yellow stripe on it or something.
Well, you know,
because
Fraser blew everybody's mind. Remember when, so he retires and then he says, here's my secret. And he showed the secret. Remember what his secret weapon was?
No.
Stairmaster.
Well, okay. So,
aren't you getting all those ads on Instagram and in your inbox for this basically stairmaster, whatever it's called,
the rotating stair mill?
Maybe I don't know. Okay, maybe there's one that's self propelled. Maybe Assault is coming out with their own just step
it.
Machine.
Tim just called it. That is it. That's
that would
it.
Be so boring.
Rogue has a new piece of equipment coming out, and it's a stair mill.
Nah, Rogue, not Rogue. Rogue won't
self-propelled.
Do it.
Self-propelled.
It could be Rogue.
Assault runner.
But I think Tim's right. I think you just nailed it, dude. What else could it be?
I don't know.
Because that way you got a screen.
Well,
you got a screen, and then you don't have to count. You don't have to have judges count.
The new concept to stepper.
Yeah. What if they had it
with the fan for the resistance?
Oh,
it's got the fan for resistance.
You know how you can adjust the speed on it, right? You know how you can adjust the speed on it? What if they had it set to where it increases speed after X amount of distances? Until you fall off. Yeah, exactly.
It's just going to keep going.
I actually thought about the
death by Stairmaster.
Yeah.
Death by. It's going to speed up. Got to keep up.
Dude, they're all over it's a stair climb. There's all kinds of free climbers. And there's a number. There's a bunch of them that are out there. So it would be a shame though if it was in heats. That's the only thing.
Yeah.
Right? So it's got and what are you going to put, 40 of them out there? And for the men and 40
facing out?
Well, I was thinking So
have them all facing have them facing in at each other.
Yeah.
They need to face in at each other, like we talked about with the weightlifting. So they all got to look at each other
for an hour.
Who's looking tired
for an hour?
Here's another thought. Maybe it's not even at the venue. Maybe there's a mountain that's equivalent to climbing. He did box step ups to train for something.
It's in Fort Worth. They know mountain.
It's a mountain in
hill.
Fort Worth. He's got a fucking
hill. I don't know. A large set of stairs. I mean, what's the thing that they do out in the city? There's like a series of steps that they have to run up.
Well,
see if the Texas Rangers are in town.
Okay.
Let's pretend they never to the stadium.
Yeah. But let's keep in mind, they did throw them on a plane to fly them to San Jose one year. So they could potentially throw them on a plane and take them to a spot where they got to climb a hill that's maybe significant to
Craig. Craig and Andrew and Allie, they bought tickets and they wanted to
watch
this.
It on the stream.
No,
that's terrible. And they're trying to save money, not pay for freaking.
Well, they've already saved a ton of money by cutting the field down.
No, well done. That's exactly right. I mean, ultimately, this is a budget thing. They're not going to put him on a plane and send him anywhere. And I don't think they're going to bus him anywhere. I think it's going to happen
on site. I'm just hoping it's not just straight.
They're going to stand there.
I'm hoping the twist makes it really unique to watch.
I did think about the stair gauntlet though last week. It's funny you said that you brought that up. I thought about that, but you can't do it in heats. You could do men and women separately, but even that would just be awful. You want it all together.
It's like how they did the marathon row.
But can you imagine that? Like 80 athletes out there doing 1,000 step ups, and all the 80 judges.
Gross.
Oh,
at least it's inside.
I think in that scenario, I would rather be the athlete than the judge.
4,000%.
Make it full contact.
100%. Full contact. You could push somebody off the wall, off their box.
Push them off the box. Yeah. You know, you're wearing a freaking backpack or something, so you're going to be like off balance. Yeah,
dude. Have you done that workout?
I did it when I had broken my collarbone in 2020. I did it unweighted. It took me like an hour. It was terrible. I did. My wife did it much faster than me because she's much fitter than I am.
Yeah, I did. Well, that's so that right there. So the endurance
athletes, 20-inch box. I did a 20-inch box.
Yeah, endurance athletes are going to do better. So yeah. I did it last year, and it was with the RX and I thought no big deal. Like, you know, I do endurance stuff occasionally. I've been carrying a rucksack for a little while. It was the most awful workout I want to say I wouldn't go that far.
You want to know what would be worse?
Oh, I felt terrible.
Do you want to know what would be worse, Greg?
What?
Do you want to know what would be worse? If I had to watch you do it.
That might have broken it up more.
100%. 100%.
Can I change the channel? Like, I don't want to watch this anymore.
Can I change the channel?
Don't make me.
ESPN's
is Caitlin Clark playing.
ESPN's like, what have we done?
Yeah, we made a mistake here.
Like, the senior producer at ESPN's like, got someone on the phone. Bro, who put this deal together? How is this? Oh, I do like it as a test though, just because it was
it's a
hell of a test, and it brings awareness to, you know, suicide, veteran suicide. And that I think is an awesome cause. And I do like that GoRuck is a part of it. They're an amazing company that has helped sponsor the games. So all of that said, Dave is with respect to all this stuff, obviously he's smarter than all of us. So he'll figure something out.
Okay. We know that's happening, but what do you think? What's the prediction for the thing that is like, there's going to be something new. There's going to be something different. Like, what's going to be the thing that we, you know, that we talk about?
Afterwards?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I like what, which one of us mentioned like
steer wrestling, right? I mean, he likes to make it like, remember they did the cheese thing, right? The yellow sandbags. Birds, it's all farm-based, right?
We didn't comment on that in terms of memorable workouts. Yeah, workout they did at the Capitol workout.
Yeah.
In Madison with the,
that was good.
You know, run, swim, and then the carrying the stuff. That just was an epic workout. It was really cool. That was an endurance workout, but what was cool is the leadership changes on that thing, especially at the end when they did the loaded carries. And then they had the defining moment where they are carrying that, when Rebecca Fusilier is carrying that.
At the end, yeah.
Hufflestone or whatever it was called.
Hufflebag.
Husafell
bag.
Husafell bag, yeah. That was just an epic moment. That was like, and then 2 years ago they did the weighted sandbags for the strength event.
Sandbag clean. That was
awesome.
Epic.
So this year, will there be a strength event? I say yes, there will be a strength event. It'll be interesting to see what they do for it. Because the strength event is just a fan favorite.
What if it was like a gymnastics?
It's gonna be back squatting a cow or something. Max rep cow squats.
No,
I mean, it's Fort Worth. I mean, you got the stockyards are right there.
Yeah.
So maybe with something with horns.
No.
Maybe carrying hay bales.
Hay bales. That's what I think.
Yeah, hay bales for
I
sure.
I think there's maybe a hay bale thing.
Move hay bales. That kind of like the sandbag moving the sandbag, like load a trailer.
Yeah.
Pull the trailer.
It's like that one event.
I love that. I love that, actually. That's cool. That would be great.
2011, the teams had a sandbag carry where they had to move like 1,500 pounds of bags from point A to point B, but over all these walls. They could do the same thing with O-Ruck bags going over hay bales.
And here, you know what I like?
You got to sell the products. You got to sell the products.
Yeah. Coming back all the way back to teams and what I don't like about teams and what I do like about what Jamie just talked about, that was back in the days when strategy was important for teams. In other words, you don't all have to work together. You don't have to do synchro stuff. You got to get the work done however you think you can best execute with your team.
I mean, I kind of, it's an argument for when you guys used to have like a specialist, you know, people had kind of like, okay, this is our this girl is our gymnast.
Yeah.
She's like, everybody's got to do a certain number of a minimum number of muscle ups.
Yep.
But somebody's probably going to do most of them.
Yeah, that's right. I love that. Yeah. I don't know. That makes teams exciting, and it makes, you know, the team selection going into the season exciting.
Yeah.
And it doesn't.
Right now, it's like everybody just has. They're just four individual athletes.
Yeah, that's right.
Who's the weakest link?
And well, that's a good point, Tim.
Not who's got the best strategy?
Tim's made an absolutely good point. One of the things that I think is wrong with the teams today is that it's not about. It's just you need four of the fittest people. Mm-hmm. And I know that's how they want to test. They want to test for and you got to almost be equal. You can't have any weak links. You can't have any chinks in your armor. You get caught. Versus having specialists like, okay, we got, you know, we got strong guy, strong girl. And now we need, you know, a gymnastic person. But, now we need a multi-purpose person.
Well-rounded specialist.
Yeah. Obviously, right. Yeah. It's CrossFit. So yeah, well-rounded specialist. Good point. But anyway, going back to it, I think that's what our defining workout is. Is something where it's like Jamie said, where it's, you know, there's obstacles like a Ninja Warrior, but then maybe taking some elements from Fort Worth.
Yeah.
A-bales and that kind of stuff. It'll be interesting to see. What do you think is going to happen out at the track?
I would love to see just straight up sprints.
I was just
like elimination. That. I mean, I've said that for years. I'm like, why would they not do this? These guys, I mean, I wasn't very fast, but I practiced sprints, you know, like.
Well, yeah. How about it? Like 800, 400, 200, 100.
Yeah.
Like an elimination.
Yeah.
Like starting with an 800.
Yep.
Then you go to the 400 and then you eliminate the bottom. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see who's at the end of it.
Right. I'd love to see that at the track.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
Track meet style stuff.
Especially considering they already have their long run,
right? That would be fun. That would be fun to see
something sprinty. They could use the football field.
Yeah. They could use the foot. Yeah, they could bring out some obstacles like they did with the
zigzag sprint.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the sled. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The football sled push. You had
Texas loves football.
Yeah.
2020, they did the handstand walk.
Maybe they'll do a football throw.
No, there's no throws.
I mean, it's Friday Night Lights.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it is Friday Night Lights.
Is it on the track? Friday Night Lights
at a high school football stadium or whatever stadium. It's sick. A football stadium. So Friday Night Lights. I mean, he loves that. Dave loves the homage to wherever they're to the locale.
He does.
Right. To be able to say like, hey, here's our. Yeah,
I think Friday night we see elements of like football training, and you could. One of the things that he talked about, or I don't know, was that a conversation I had with him, or he talked about on one of his podcasts, is something that is combine style.
Yeah,
so with the combines where you test all the different elements, sprint, throw.
Kind of get a ranking on the
vertical jump, all that stuff. You get a ranking. Combine style. So it could, you know, could be something in that neighborhood. I do like I do like what you say about the blocking dummy, the tackling dummy that you push that sled, you hit that thing and push that thing down and then sprint.
Well, and they did. Remember there was the one thing where they did the kind of the zigzag thing.
Zigzag sprint.
Yeah. And it had to go in between.
That produced incredible pictures.
Like, yeah.
The pictures that come from that are just awesome. Really and cool. Then, of course, some of our favorite scenes from CrossFit are the sprints that, remember, Heber, was it Heber?
When he sprinted
alongside.
No, it wasn't he. That was Mars.
That was Mars. Carrying the camera and running along,
basically beat.
But again,
Fraser,
really neat moment where they're sprinting.
Yeah,
that was like, and it was fun to watch sprints because sprints are races. Like, you can see who's ahead and who's not ahead. So, like, if you're going to be under the lights, Tim said, "Yeah, Friday Night Lights." You want it to be something where you can see who's winning, visibly see who's winning right out there, and hearkening back to the days of and then also the Olympic trials that are happening.
Yeah.
It would be fun to see, you know, I'd love to see 400, 200. Hurdles ain't going
to
happen.
400 would be the best one to watch because there's so much more strategy as far as how do you pace that out.
You're right.
They did 550, right? Remember the group at Madison? It was like a 550 meter run.
Yeah. But around a track.
We did a 450 2012.
Watch out for Mayeros. He's fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
All right, you guys, we went an hour and 30 minutes, and we kind of
barely touched it.
We kind of covered some of the stuff that we
were. It's a lot of years.
It's a lot of years.
This is like a whole series right here. But I think you
get a real picture of like how it started and where we are today.
Yeah.
We gave him plenty of outtakes to chop up and make fun of us.
Here's the other thing, too, is that from the years that they built the games, people criticize, well, the games were losing money. Yeah, but those are the building. That's with any sport. And they built it, and they were trying to figure out sponsorships and all of it. Sponsors have done really well at the games. And, you know, I remember back in the day in the Reebok tent, they said they were doing like $50,000 to $100,000 of sales a day.
Yeah.
At the games of people buying stuff. So sponsors do really well. And that's a kind of a cool thing about the CrossFit community. This year, all of them are going to be in one venue, and people can get into that venue, the Vendor Village, free. And there's all kinds of cool stuff that's going to go on. So I think that's going to be a really neat event, and and that's going to attract more sponsors to want to be there next year. Mm-hmm. And then this year, like last year, the games was profitable. This year, it's I think it'll be even more profitable because the venue deal that they got is outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're not, it's like, I think
the overhead is so much lower.
Yeah. The guy from Shipper Works, Ken, said that he looked at the bid, the public bid for it. Yeah, he did. He called it back at the games last year that it was going to be a Fort Worth. And he said it was a $0 bid. So basically, they came in and they said, look, we're not going to charge you to be here. You get the venue for free, but they're going to get parking, they're going to get concessions, and they're going to get, one, notoriety for the event. So the city gets, by the way, it's like they get, 10% of all the like hotel revenues. Mm-hmm. So all the hotel revenues and everything else that comes in, they get that. And CrossFit doesn't have that upfront cost of the venue, but now they got the cost of production of the entire event. And then they got ESPN now, which brings notoriety to it. So the games this year, and I think the whole game season is profitable. And that's good for CrossFit. It's good for the sport of CrossFit especially. So I'm excited for this year. Anyway, anything else, Tim?
Right, what are the dates? Say the dates.
August 7th through the
August 7th.
I got it on my calendar right here. It's weird.
It's 8 through the 11th.
7-11.
Yeah.
8 through the 11th.
8 through the 11th. It's really, I'm getting in there. It's like that's the latest the games have been.
Yeah.
Because they're always, in late July into the first week of August. Yep. And back in the day, they were in the middle of July.
Mm-hmm. And they were done with the regionals pretty early.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right on. All right. So that's it. And we will catch you guys next week with something else to talk about.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. No, dude, that was good. Thank you. On. Nice to have you on.
Till next time.
Yep. Till next time. See ya. You got the closeout?
I got it.
Like, subscribe, and share.
thank you.
Like, subscribe. Bring